They'd be like, what do you mean I did it like that? I always do it like that. Like, they don't even realize, like, you might not even realize the patterns that are making you successful versus the ones that could be holding you back. Because we'll all have both, right? So where is your zone of genius?
You're listening to the Merged Marketing Podcast with David Lauch and Jason Hunt. Our mission with this show is to discuss all things business, digital marketing, sales, and mindset. It's our hope to empower entrepreneurs to get the most from their efforts so that they can focus on what they do best.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Merge Marketing Podcast. My name is David, co-host and producer, along with my partner, Jason Hunt, and you're listening to episode 47. Today, we're pleased to welcome back, yes, back, Allison Graham to the show. Allison appeared back in episode 34, which is definitely an episode worth listening to again. Very quickly, for those that may not have heard her past episode, Allison is a resiliency expert, author, and media commentator who shares her problem-solving framework to build resilience and amplify capacity. She's been engaging audiences since 2006, speaking for Fortune 500 companies and coaching leaders to get out of their own way and step into their full potential. Allison, welcome back to our show today.
It's awesome to be back. I was saying that if I could only do your show, like just be a podcast guest for my entire life, I would love that. Like, it's kind of fun.
We would love it too. Yeah, absolutely. So I guess just before we get started, how have you been since we last spoke? Is there anything new going on in your life?
Well, you know, it feels a little bit like Groundhog Day. I don't know if you guys feel that still, right, with the COVID and everything that's going on. And, you know, there have been a couple of product launches. So I did a Create Your Ultimate Stress-Free Morning Routine product online. So that was really fun. And, of course, using my problem-solving framework to solve the morning of chaos, the chaos in the mornings. So that's been kind of neat. And new coaching packages and everything like that. So just plugging away, but it's the end of the year and I think we gotta, you know, close strong. So I'll do some more sales outreach and whatnot for the rest of this year, and then I'll probably shut it down for a week or two.
Groundhog Day, excellent movie. I love that movie. If there's one movie that probably I kind of reflect back in my mind and how cool it would be to live in that as that character as Bill Murray, it would be Groundhog Day. Such a cool movie.
It would. You'd have the perfect day, and then you might get bored with it.
Yes. Well, exactly. But that's the goal, though. No, because in the movie, he gets that perfect day, and then he wakes up, and it's the next day, right? So it's trying to relive that same day over and over again until it is perfect.
It is definitely a classic. Definitely a classic. Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome.
Well, I'm glad to hear things are going well for you, Allison, and we're approaching the holidays, so glad to hear you're taking some time off, which is great. So for our listeners, just going to go through a quick recap of Allison's last episode. So our goal of that episode was to help you, the listener, better understand your relationship with challenge and change, which we all continue to experience now more than ever. To do so, we dove into Allison's problem-solving framework, which she calls the Rapid Fire Resilience Rundown. And there are three components to this framework. One, we have situational awareness. Two, we have self-awareness. And three, we have solution activation. So last time, we got through situational awareness, which was extremely interesting. But there was definitely a lot more to unpack than we thought, which is why we have her back on today. So today we're going to be diving into the self, which is I think a scary thing for most people to really dig in deep to self and figure out your self-awareness. But that's what we're going to be talking to or about today. But before we get to that, Allison, can you just give a quick recap of the three situations that we covered in the last episode and why they need to be identified in a situation when trying to solve problems? I think that will tee up the discussion.
Absolutely. Yeah. So with the situational awareness, one of the key components of that is understanding what's the difference between the tasks you need to get done, the obstacles you need to solve, and the adversities that you need to heal from. And if we understand that, then what we can do is we can take the best approach and then best next step to figuring out how do we keep going. Because with tasks, we want to be as efficient as possible so that they're not stealing our capacity, so that we're not adding things like worry and judgment and, you know, procrastination on top of tasks that just have to get done or misplaced emotion and being annoyed and angry about something that like the dishes are never going to stop. Right. So this is never going to stop. And so that's that first piece. With obstacles, we really want to look at them not from an emotional perspective, but from a very objective perspective, sort of step back and look at it and say, okay, what is the best way for me to move forward? And in the last episode, we talked about the log that could fall on your path. And so your priority is to figure out as efficiently and as quickly as possible, am I going to jump over it, go under it, go around it, blow it up, move it out of the way? What am I going to do with the log so I can keep going? With adversity, it's very different. What we tend to want to do is power through and task our way out of adversity. And you can't. The path you were on no longer exists. And so that's where what we want to really focus on in that case is our healing, processing the emotions, not feeling scared of the emotions and not feeling those horrible sensations of grief and sadness. So we got to sink into those so that they can move and then dissipate because their energy is in motion. So that really is the key foundational. If you don't know what you're actually dealing with, and the way it works with the rapid fire resilience rundown is first you notice that sensation. And I love that we're going to get to talk about self-awareness today. You notice that sensation and then you go, oh, wait a second, I'm not operating from my sweet spot of performance and productivity. And so you immediately will go, okay, what's the real issue, right? What am I dealing with here? No emotion, no drama, no story around it. Then what about the situation is within my control or out of my control? And if we know that, that will help us identify, is it a task, an obstacle, or an adversity? And that is when we then go into the second place, which is self-awareness.
So before we do that, I'm just kind of curious if you can help me define or understand this a little better. So a situation, mm-hmm. can we classify something as broad as the COVID-19 pandemic as a situation?
100%.
Okay. So
absolutely. Anything that is stressing you out or causing you stress could be under the situational awareness umbrella. So if it's COVID, but here's how it's kind of cool, is COVID is the adversity. Let's say the way we know our lives to be will never be again, right? Or at least for a significant amount of time.
Well, that's where I was going with it. Because if let's say as a result of COVID-19, your business is, bankrupt or you go out of business or you can no longer operate.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the adversity or are they both adversities?
They are both adversities. However, an obstacle could be the cash flow. Let's say you've gone bankrupt. It's over. The business is gone. That to me would be considered an adversity. Mm-hmm. That creates new obstacles. Mm-hmm. And the new obstacles would be, okay, I've got to find a new livelihood. Or if you're still on the brink, okay, the adversity is like, I can't serve my customers in my actual facility anymore. The obstacle that comes from that is I have to figure out how to serve my clients virtually, delivery, etc. Like, how do I actually do it? That's the obstacle. So then we put our thinking hat on. So we want to be able to process the emotion related to the fact that, you know, your business is closed or it's no longer viable. That's fair. But from it, we've got to take control and feel empowered by figuring out how to solve the obstacle.
So the adversity is something that we cannot control, right? Much like, for example, in our business, travel agents were negatively affected greatly by COVID-19. So that's out of our control. So trying to sell digital marketing to travel agents is not going to work. So the obstacle would be, well, how do we generate that income now while pivoting over to e-commerce would be an option. And then those tasks that need to happen or whatever those sales tasks that happen to get to that, to overcome that obstacle, right?
Exactly. So it's like they flow up and down to each other. So if you imagine task, obstacle, adversity, adversity will always create more obstacles. Obstacles will, when solved, will create tasks. That's how we solve them. And we have a high level of control when it comes to implementing tasks. We have a medium-ish level of control when it comes to, solving obstacles. And we have a very, very low level of control when it comes to adversity. because it's a catastrophic, externally driven force that will forever change the way we know our life to be.
That's perfect. Thank you for clarifying that for me. So for our listeners, what we hope we just did for you is, moving forward, whenever you're faced with situations in your life, we hope that you're now able to identify what it is. Is it a task? Is it an obstacle? Or isn't it adversity? Because you have to deal with those things all very specifically in different ways. And so now as we move into self-awareness, which I imagine is probably the most difficult of the three, but I could be wrong. What's that about? How do we?
I'd agree. It's the most difficult. Except when you ask people if they're self-aware, of course we all feel we're self-aware.
Of course. I
mean, that's just, of course we're self-aware. But the thing is that by very nature of self-awareness, you may not even realize that you're not fully aware of yourself, right? It's sort of this round, because as you become more aware of the patterns of the things that might be holding you back, of why you're feeding into worry, why you're, you know, having back issues, why you're like all of that. When you start doing that, then it's like peeling back an onion over and over and over again. And then there's just more revealed and more revealed and more revealed. And so if we can come at self-awareness from a perspective of curiosity rather than judgment, we will be able to be much more aware and more successful overall, and ultimately interrupt the patterns that are holding us back from our full potential.
Curiosity, that just a quick rabbit hole. That was actually my one word. We had Evan Carmichael on the show, and his big thing is choose your one word to define your life, what's your mission basically in life. And I had never really given it much thought, but curiosity is one that I came up with. So that's interesting.
Oh, I love it. That's so great. I was just going to say, Jennifer Jimboree, right? You know, Jennifer. Yep. Yep. Who introduced us initially, and I know is watching live because I saw her tweet go across. There she is.
Yeah, there she is.
You know, she does that a lot with her clients, with her coaching clients, is helps them figure out exactly the right word for the year.
Yeah.
So, anyway, fun. Yeah, curiosity. Go ahead, Jay. You were going to ask me something.
I wanted to unpack that for a second, Allison, and kind of like understand a perfect example of where someone should choose the curiosity path rather than judgment. Mm. What's an example of somebody choosing judgment before curiosity and vice versa? Maybe you can just break that down.
I have lots because I always have to catch myself. Right? So let's say you eat a plate of nachos. Judgment is, oh my God, I'm so fat. I can't believe I just did that. I have no self-discipline. What the is wrong with me? That's judgment. Curiosity is like, what was it that made me decide that I needed to eat that entire order?
Right, okay.
But what was I feeling? Was there a sensation that I was avoiding? Was my pain really high? I notice I'll make different decisions when my pain is high and I'm not figuring out how to regulate it. And then going, oh, that's interesting. So if I had to do it again, would I be okay with that? Like, would I do it the same way? And at what point in what I just went through, would it make sense to interrupt that pattern? What could I have done? So that's the curiosity as opposed to the judgment. So it's very much about tone. It's very much about being self-loving and okay with the fact that we are, you know, entitled to having bad days or bad moments, and that's part of the human experience. And we just have to figure out, how do we not stay there as long as, you know, we sometimes do, right? Like, how do we come back faster? How do we live a better, less stressful way?
Yeah, that's, thanks for that. That's interesting. You know, self-awareness is so interesting to me personally, and I am not an expert in this, and I would not define myself as being super self-aware, because I think that true self-awareness is so hard, and that most people, and I could be wrong, but most people aren't truly self-aware. Would you agree with that?
100%. Absolutely, I agree with that. And the reason I know that to be true, or I believe that to be true, is you can have a conversation with someone, ask them a question, or say, oh, that's interesting that you did that way. And they'd be like, what do you mean I did it like that? I always do it like that. Like, they don't even realize, like, you might not even realize the patterns that are making you successful versus the ones that could be holding you back. Because we'll all have both, right? Mm-hmm. So where is your zone of genius? And not even knowing, like, I'm really good at doing this, but do I actually like doing it? Mm-hmm. Or if I stop doing that, would I get how much more joy out of my life? Like, but we're not actually asking the questions. You know, when we're young, we're asking the questions, why? If we went around in our adult lives talking like that, we'd probably drive everybody crazy, right? Like, that would not make for great conversation. Yeah. And I'm still going to encourage you to do it with yourself. Yeah. So just asking the questions. And the more you ask questions about how you show up in the world, the more you're empowered to shift the pieces of the puzzle that you're not happy with.
Yeah.
Would you say you get better? A person will get better with self-awareness as they age, as they grow wiser? Or is there maybe some hacks that somebody could deploy to become more self-aware without, you know, cognizantly having to think, oh, I got to be self-aware right now? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if it's a default of age. What generally happens, though, as people get more aged and become wiser, is they let go of a lot of the expectations of other people. They realize life is too short. Maybe they've got a few, you know, scars to prove, you know, the things they've been through over the course of their life. However, I have met many of people who are very senior in their existence who are not self-aware at all. Mm. Right. So I don't think age is a defining factor, or is the default to eventually, if you grow old enough, you're going to be wise enough to be self-aware. However, I absolutely 100% believe that if you are 18 years old right now, you could become a master at self-awareness. If you're 35, if you're 45, because it's a never-ending journey. So the question becomes, are you going to go down that road? Are you going to be someone who is really committed to personal development and professional growth? And like, I know, like, over the last few months, I gotta tell you, I have had to implement a lot of my programs, like my thinking, and it's not been easy, right? Like, I had a pretty big injury with my hip. And you know, we talked about pain last time, and it's like, it's an acute pain that is severe. And so I'm having to manage, how is that influencing my day to day? How is that stealing a piece of my capacity that, like, you know, if you have this much capacity in a day to do, to be, to feel, to hear, right? Like, that's a silo, and you've got a severe pain coming in. Well, 50% of your capacity is gone. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when it's a new pain, so it's not like I have to now do all the self-awareness, right? Like, and I'm constantly checking in, like, oh, right, I'm feeling really irritated right now. Okay, what's going on? Okay, my pain is at a severe level, and that's influencing my ability to use good words, right? To not dramatize and catastrophize the situation. Mm-hmm. To, you know, I call it the gotta go technique. I don't know, I forget what we talked about last time, but do you know this one? This is, I don't like how it feels over here, so I got to go over there.
Yeah.
And so that deflection. So I notice that a lot when I'm ramping up and really in a lot of pain. So, you know, I think the self-awareness journey is something that is not static. It's an everyday commitment to go, I'm going to show up the best way I can today with the resources that I have, and not allow the crap in my life to define my outcome.
It's one thing to be self-aware, and another thing to actually take that action you need to take to overcome the obstacle. An example is, like, I work late hours, and I'll work late, and I'm aware that I'm working late, probably later than I should. And I probably, you know, close down the computer, shut things off, and go home so I can get home in time for dinner. But there's that obstacle of me having to just say, okay, shut it down, close work. And this could have fueled anything. Could be addiction, could be anything, right? But it's being aware that I am self-aware of this, but I still need to have the control to be able to overcome that obstacle that I need to overcome.
I love it. Here's why. Because the self-awareness needs to go to a deeper level. So it's not just being aware of I work late. That's actually situational awareness. So let's take that as an example. So you are generally working until 6 o'clock and you want to be gone by five. Let's just say we've got an hour gap. That's your situation. So that's an obstacle. So what needs to happen to buy back an hour during your day in order, and this is the kind of coaching that I do with my clients, right? Like, so we would unpack things like this and we go, okay, you know what? You're consistently missing this deadline. You're consistently having to work on the weekends, right? That was the whole Take Back Your Weekends program that I created, was based out of that. So we take that, that's actually the situation. The self-awareness is on three levels: your mental, your physical, and your emotional. So we actually start with the physical, because I believe physiology will trump psychology all day long, right? When you're in pain, you can't just say, I'm out of pain, and it's gone, right? So with this, do you have an underlying belief that you need to work late hours, or you might be perceived as not being a high, you know, really working, like, to your clients if they can't get you at 6 o'clock? Are you, maybe...
It's procrastination.
I was going to say, yeah. are you avoiding things during the day when you're maybe surfing Facebook or doing something that's not really great timeline, like time use of your time, right? So there's another way to explore. Is it procrastination? Okay, great. It's procrastination. Then we take this problem solving framework, another layer, and we put it on procrastination. And we go, is procrastination an adversity, an obstacle, or a task? It's a combination of obstacles and tasks, right? So then we got to figure out what are the right solution activations to put into place for you. So all of that, then we start to think, okay, am I wasting time during the day? Is there an hour gap? Or better yet, let's get curious and say, maybe I actually work really good on deadline. And because I have created this skewed deadline that 6 o'clock in the evening instead of 5 o'clock in the evening is actually when I'm done my workday, at 5:05, I ramp up and I all of a sudden get all the stuff done. So then we go, is that your flow, or is that because you need a deadline? Then we need to start artificially making 5 o'clock the deadline so that at 4:05, you ramp up. To see how, like, the curiosity rabbit hole, yeah. It's like so fun. But if you don't answer those questions and you just say, you know what, I'm going to leave the office at 5 o'clock every day, tomorrow I will hear you're there at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 100%. It's almost like this, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And you talk about the 4 quadrants. It feels like at 5 p.m. every day, everything's in that, I think it's the top left quadrant, important and urgent.
Yes.
And it's just like, I got to get this stuff done before in the day, and I'm not giving up till I'm not leaving here till everything on this list is done. That's the problem. So basically what you're saying is being self-aware of that, pushing that 5 p.m. deadline to 4:05 and giving me that 4-hour buffer. Now it just needs to be, I have to just ingrain it in my head that 4:05, shut everything down and just focus on this list, get her done.
Well, and the way you could do that is at 5:05, you have a call with somebody. And you're planning on having that call as you drive home to the office or, you go somewhere, or you have another commitment. So you actually, like, artificially put in the commitment before it becomes ingrained. Mm-hmm. Because our patterns, like, we can't, like, at least I've not really had the ability, without having some sort of an external validation or an external, accountability. Or a reason, like, sometimes if I'm procrastinating on a project or getting slides done, I'll send a note to a client and say, I'm going to be sure to send that over to you tomorrow by 9:30 a.m. Well, what time is it going to be done? 9:29. So if we are self-aware and know that we desperately need that hard deadline, we have to manufacture deadlines.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey there, Jay here.
Thank you so much for listening to the Merge Marketing Podcast. It would mean the world to David and myself if you could leave us a review, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. We are so invested in bringing you so much value that we would love to hear what you have to say. We'd love to hear if you have any suggestions for upcoming guests. Whatever it is, we're here to serve you. Okay? Keep it rocking, be good, and keep listening.
And it doesn't work to just do them ourselves, because we just like, you're like, haha, like, yeah, I don't believe that one. Right?
So I, it sounds like, cause where I was going to go with my next question was, you know, what is the actual process in your framework at this step that you do for your clients? But it doesn't sound like it's always super static, but what it does sound like is you're really trying to first understand what their situations are so that you can then dive into helping them be more self-aware of what's going on and causing those situations and that stress.
Yes. So the purpose of the self-awareness step in the problem-solving framework is specifically to ask the question, how am I reacting to the situation? And potentially, how am I making this situation harder for me to deal with? Mm. So if you break it down and you go physically, you start there, checking in when you have that sensation, because that sensation, being aware of the sensation that I'm really stressed. And like, for me, it means I'm breathing up here. Like my lungs almost feel like they're sore, right? Like I'm not, and I'm tense down here in my diaphragm.
Yeah.
And so I've got to come there. And then I'm like, okay, so physical, am I exhausted? Did I sleep okay last night? Even bringing the awareness that I'm exhausted, and not judging it and not going, you know, why can't I sleep and I have insomnia and et cetera, just going, okay, what does that feel like in my body? If we bring that awareness and we walk into a meeting exhausted, I will guarantee you, recognizing that that has a detrimental impact on how we're thinking and performing, you will actually do a better job in that meeting. Mm. Than if you walked in and you weren't actually bringing awareness to how am I feeling. So exhaustion, pain, hungry, like if you're hangry, right? Hungry anger, or pangry, which is pain anger. And if you are one of those two things, see, if you're hungry, you're not going to starve to death before the meeting. But if you don't bring acknowledgement to it, if you don't go, oh, wait a second, whoo. Yeah, I'm pretty hungry. So that means I am at a greater risk of having a short fuse in this meeting.
Yeah.
Then you're going to go into the meeting and you're going to let your hunger, your hangry or your, you know, or your pangry dictate how you perform. And then you're going to walk out of the meeting and go, what was that? Oh, I need a Snickers bar. And then you're going to be like, oh, well, what they were saying wasn't that ridiculous. Right? So this is the physical. So bringing awareness and checking in, how am I showing up? But also it'll help us see our patterns, right? So I know when I'm, like I said, like, you know, places in my body that get really tight and carry tension, well, then I'm like, oh, okay, my parasympathetic nervous system needs to hit in a little because my sympathetic is like fight or flight, right? So then we go to the mental game. And we're like, what is the story I'm telling around this situation right now? What are the words and the specifically the adjectives that I'm using to describe this situation? And am I putting it in the best light possible? Am I looking at it through a lens of optimism or through a lens of pessimism? Is there something in my past that leads me to believe that what I'm saying, like the way I'm seeing this is from that perspective, right? Like what's the story? And so then we can say, is that really true? Right? Well, like just so many examples of this, you know, one of my coaching clients right now sent me a note the other day. She goes, I'm really struggling with, you know, getting started for this program and like, you know, all of this. And I said, okay, here's the deal. By the end of the week, you've got to give me two of the modules. And she's like, all right. I said, you know, why don't you just send me what you have so far? She sent me what she had to so far. Oh my gosh. She's so far into it. Like the story she had been telling, I'm like, no, you can give me five modules by the end of the week. Cause you've already got three done. So, but the story that we're making up in our procrastination state, in our self-doubt state, in whatever state we're in, is, in her case, was I'm not even anywhere near, like, I'm not making any progress on this project, so I'm getting discouraged. Mm-hmm. But then when we can look at it, I looked at the words. I'm like, seems a little off. Send me what you have. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you're so far ahead. Oh, I am? Well, yeah. Oh yeah, I guess I am. Right? And so this will dictate our motivation, our belief in ourselves. All of that are the words that we're consistently using mm-hmm. to describe a situation. And then it's the emotional. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just going to say, like, I think for the most part, identifying the feelings are pretty easy. Like we can all identify pretty easily when we're feeling anxious or stressed, or we're hungry, or whatever it might be. But it's the questions that we need to ask ourselves that we avoid because they're difficult and they're uncomfortable.
Yes. So it's really interesting that you say the emotions are easy, because a lot of times people tell me that's the hardest part.
Really?
Yes. Because a couple things we do. Number one, we bucket the words. So, oh, I'm stressed.
Right? That's true. That's a blanket for everything. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what does that actually mean? And so I love to dig deep. Okay. If you weren't going to tell me you're stressed, give me another word. Mm-hmm. And then give me another word. And often we'll get to, I'm fearful. Mm-hmm. Because there's often underlying emotions, or even with anger, a lot of it is fear driven, right? Or insecure, or whatever. And especially in the COVID world, you know, I was talking with a retail outlet, and, you know, they groom dogs, right? So you think, you know, you're taking your dog for a groom, like, that's a pretty happy time in your life. Like, I mean, as times go, right? It's not a horribly stressful situation. Yeah. And like, the manager is afraid to answer the phone because she's getting yelled at consistently and constantly because, you know, the cut's not right, or, you know, why is my appointment so far away? Or, you know, why didn't you tell me? Like, just stupid stuff, right? Which is all, then no, that says judgment. Stuff that is just tasks. We just got to figure this out. They aren't even real obstacles. But people are reacting so emotionally charged because they're not aware that they're scared to death for the future of their business. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking it out on the groomer.
Yeah.
Right? Or the bell. Like, I feel awfully sorry for people who work in telecommunication in call centers, because, you know, if you have any animosity towards your life, yeah. and I've spoken for some call centers, right? And especially like at the banks, you know, you're scared about your money. And so you're taking it out on the person who won't return, you know, reverse the service charge. But the truth is, your bank account's an overdraft, and you're scared you don't know where the next paycheck's coming from. And so this is the self-awareness when it comes to our emotions and understanding it. And I, you know, there's, you know, you can look it up online. There's like emotion wheels, right? Where it would start out and you're like, you know, you're sad, and that could be like 20 different actual emotions. So the sooner you can get clarity on what it really is and then be okay with that, using curiosity again. Oh, I'm feeling very sad. Mm-hmm. Okay, why? Like, and actually feel the sad mm-hmm. and go into it and not do the gotta go technique. Mm-hmm. I don't like it over here. I gotta go over there mm-hmm. and distract myself from feeling that horrible, you know, those tough emotions. Because we need the tough stuff to feel the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the depression rates and anxiety right now are through the roof. And I can tell you, like, again, I teach this stuff and I still have to manage it, right? Like, I'm still like, oh, have I taken all my vitamins today? Have I been eating well? Have I, aside from the plate of nachos, right? you know, have I been exercising? No, because of my hip. Okay, so let's put that into context and recognize that could be stealing a bit of your capacity in the day to day. Okay, well then let's not judge that. Let's be okay with that. What do I need to actually do to process this? Mm-hmm. And to still stay positive. Yeah.
In theory, it makes a whole lot of sense. And I think the biggest challenge, though, for a lot of people is consistently deploying the curiosity thought process or asking those questions is probably really tough to deploy. Cause right now I'm thinking about it and you know, there's sometimes just emotions are tough to control. They are like, you know, when you want to yell, you got to bite your tongue and say, hold on, why am I acting this way? Taking that whole entire action and putting it into play, I think is the biggest challenge. Are there any sort of hacks or ways you can practice this to reinforce this behavior?
Sure. And you're right, by the way, it's the hard to remember it. So one thing when we talk in our next time about solution activation, one of the things I'm going to talk about is the second response is more important than your first. Okay, so if in the moment you don't find curiosity, I'm going to encourage you to welcome it in the second moment. Okay, so you go for it, then it's just like the nacho example I gave. Ate it, good, done. Now, okay, wait a second, was I okay with that? Would I want to do it again? What would be my rules? So how would I show up next time? The other piece, have a coach. You know, have a business coach who can hold you accountable. You know, one of the things I started doing with my coaching clients was offering over the course of 3 months, unlimited 15-minute calls. Yeah. Unlimited. Because I know in 10 minutes of calling me to say, you know what, I'm really freaking stuck. Mm-hmm. And if they do that on day two, instead of do that on day, you know, 10, when we have our next strategy call, I can pull them out of that faster. So having a coach, having somebody, doesn't even have to be a coach. Have it be your best buddy. Like Dave and Jay, you know, remind me in the moment to be curious. Mm-hmm. Post-it notes, have them all over here, right? Like, what are your words? What do you have to have that can trigger you? Some people recommend having like an elastic band or something around their mm-hmm. wrist. So, you know, you pop that and it just is a reminder to be,
I do that all day.
Okay.
All day. Yeah.
So every time you touch that, you need to anchor that to, in this case, as we're talking, curiosity, right? So every time I touch this, I'm going to bring curiosity in, but it's also a commitment every day where you start and you go, okay, you know what? I'm going to be self-aware today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be curious. Yeah. And I'm just going to, for the next hour, as I do things, I'm just going to go, huh, isn't that interesting how I do it? Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow, you know, 3 hours in, you might forget, you go and not be aware. And then the next day you're going to be more aware. Mm-hmm. And then the next day you're going to be more aware. And I think one of the other ways to get aware and to bring it back, and I've done this recently, is to start to pull away from some of the patterns that you're used to doing. Mm-hmm. So for me, again, gotta go technique, right? I would call a friend and then I end up venting, but I'm not actually dealing with the issue. Mm-hmm. Right? So now I'm trying to stop that. Mm-hmm. Right? So when I have that sensation of pick up the phone, call friend, complain, right? I'm like, oh, no, that's the sensation I'm looking out for. Like, we got to choose the sensation we're looking out for. Is it anger building? Is it stress building? Is it physical stress? Like, whatever it is. And then interrupt it.
Yeah, it's that's interesting. So I have my final thought here that I want to make is kind of the flip side to what I said earlier about how true self-awareness, I feel, is something that most people don't have because it's difficult. I was reading an article recently or a survey that was done on small businesses, and it basically found that small businesses are resilient and adaptable despite the global pandemic. So the main example that they highlighted in this article was business owners transition quickly over to digital.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here's my thought. I think that COVID was a much needed wake up call for small to medium sized businesses who historically did not put a lot of thought into their marketing strategy, especially when it came to digital. I guess what my question here is, the self-awareness piece that we've been talking about today, is there a difference between like a business entity and a person?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So you can have, well, your business needs its self-awareness. And the reality is you as the person bring the awareness to the business.
Right. So right? Are you seeing that businesses overall, I guess, are more self-aware now?
I don't know if self-awareness and resilience always go hand in hand.
Right.
So when you are for it, but I love the fact that resilience is innate, right? And especially with business owners. And I think the reason so many business owners did well is because they had no choice.
Yeah.
Right. And when your back is up against a wall, you've got to adapt. Like you have no, you can't just sit on your, unless you give up. And so the conversation about awareness was more about, okay, where are you resisting the change? Where are you bringing up a story? Well, we tried to do delivery 5 years ago and it was a disaster. Yeah. Where are you buying into story? Where are you feeling, you know, like devastated because you absolutely love being on stage in front of an audience?
Yeah.
And how can you then, that's the adversity that's no longer available to you, at least for now. And so how can you mourn the loss of that while still focusing on the obstacles and the tasks? The concern I have for business owners is that some of them, not all, are so caught up in the fear of what's happening in the future. And then they're masking that with so much activity to just stay alive. Like, I'm not talking about the ones that are booming. I'm talking about the ones that are just on the skin of the skin of the skin of the teeth, to keeping it together. They're so caught up in the tasks and the busy, 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 that they're not getting any time to pull back from it and look at, is this viable long-term? Is everything I put into place in a knee-jerk reaction to, for survival mode, actually the right answer for the future? Right? So you might get into different patterns that are just there again by default, when if we took a step back from it, had a little bit of insight, and we could actually figure out, like, is it really the right answer for your business? And also the stress levels of just like the emotional reality of the physical reality of stress at that intensity level without having any break, because the fear is overwhelming them. And so part of it is trusting yourself that each day you can get through the next day, get through the next day.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Awesome.
And if you can't, you'll be okay. Sorry. Yeah. And if you can't, you'll figure something out then. Like if the business goes and it goes bankrupt, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
But you still have all your knowledge. You still have your creativity. You still have access to the resources you had before. You can still call the marketing people. Do you know? They can call you too and help get insight. Like there's always hope.
Yeah. 100%. Jay, anything from you before we wrap up?
I think now would be a great time for Allison to let our listeners and viewers know the best way to reach her.
Yes. My website's the best option, allisongraham.co. And I'm active on LinkedIn, trying to do a YouTube channel. I've got 172 subscribers, who I'm very, very grateful for. So thank you all. Yes. So I want that to build as well. But definitely, and you know, my coaching and whatnot, is everything really starts with a phone call. So if you have any desire to talk with me about any of that, I welcome you to book a call on my website and we'll explore.
Awesome.
Thank you so much again, Allison. And we end our episode with the same question every week, which I know you're aware of. Yeah. And that is, if you could choose one person dead or alive to represent your brand, who would it be and why? And do you remember who you said last time?
I said Mel Robbins last time.
Yes, you did. And so are you sticking with that answer?
I thought about this before. I still really do like Mel Robbins. She's great. But I feel like I should have a little bit more excitement in it. I think I'd have my mom.
Okay.
Here's why. She would just go around and tell everybody how great I am. Completely irregardless of, you know, any detail. I would go in and she would just tell wonderful, beautiful stories.
Oh, it's so true. Yeah. So true. Well, thank you. We're going to switch from Mel Robbins to your mom. I think that is a great brand ambassador for anybody. So thank you so much for coming on again. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Allison. Cool. Awesome. Another great episode of the Merge Marketing Podcast. Allison Graham coming back for an encore. And I love having her on because it really, at least for myself, it makes me kind of check myself and understand, maybe some areas in my own life where I can improve just by being cognizant of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. You know, that curiosity word is very big. And I think I'm going to try to deploy that more often to understand, you know, certain things in my life, why I'm working extra late, why a certain thing annoys me on a given day. If I have a bad call with a sales prospect and I go home and I start, you know, being very closed and not so open with talking to my kids or my wife, I need to understand why I'm doing that and pivot and just pivot my thought process to not do that. But I think it relates especially a lot to entrepreneurs and business owners, who are working a lot and dealing with a lot of stress. I think what Allison provides here can provide a lot of value to a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You said it perfectly. And I think that really, you know, reflecting internally and asking those questions that you just mentioned, it can really free yourself from a lot of unnecessary stress that you might be putting on yourself that you don't need to. And I think for myself, I do that all the time. I'm like you, you know, if I don't work late, I feel like I wasn't productive or that I didn't do enough, which is just, if you really think about it, stupid, you know, because you did for the most part. And you had a productive day and you got a lot done. Who cares if you didn't work until 10 PM? Like it. So yeah, I think she's amazing. Another great episode. And thank you all for joining.
Absolutely. And Dave, I want to touch on that one point one more time. And the fact that differentiates a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs from those people that are employees that can turn it off at 5 p.m. every day and say it's okay till 9 a.m. the next morning, where it's really difficult for somebody that owns a business to shut it off. Yep. It really is. You know, it's really difficult to do that because the work never ends. Yeah. It really doesn't, right? Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Subscribe to the Merge Marketing Podcast if you have not yet, and give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform. We would love it if you could do that for us. Until next time.
Merry Christmas and have a happy holidays, everybody.
Love it. See you soon, everyone.
See ya.